Well, welcome, brethren. We've been looking forward to this for many months now, and in a moment we're going to have some words of welcome from our brother Steve Mangus. But before we do that, I would like to bring a few things to your attention. First of all, we have two changes in the schedule on the program. One is concerning breakfast on both Saturday and Sunday. On the program it says it's from 7:30 until 8:30. Good news for those that like to sleep in. It's going to be from 8 till 9. So please make note of that. 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock. We have one other program change. Unfortunately, Brother George Tabak and Sister Florence will not be able to join us. I don't know the nature of her illness, but Sister Florence is ill, was not able to come, and Brother George felt it wiser to stay home with her. So the change in the program will be as follows. Brother Ray Luke will speak this afternoon at 3:15 in place of Brother George. And Brother Ray was scheduled to speak tomorrow evening at 7:15, and we've asked Brother Sid Jones if he would speak at 7:15 tomorrow evening, and so Brother Sid Jones has agreed to do that. We're very excited about our program. We think we have a good list of speakers. We have some interesting study topics that will begin this afternoon, and so we've been looking forward to the fellowship and to the lessons that we will hear. Brother Steve, once again, will be giving our welcome address in just a moment. In preparation for that address, we're going to sing hymn number 196, all of the verses, and Brother Sam Christek will open our convention with a word of prayer after the last verse.
Almighty, divine, and gracious Heavenly Father, reverently and in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we lift our hearts to Thee, dear Father, for Thy loving kindness and for Thy sweet Spirit that draws us together to be together here to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and to receive from Thy loving kindness Thy precious word for our edification, that we might be built up together in the most holy faith, rejoicing in the precious promise of the kingdom, and thy will to be done on earth. And dear Father, we would ask a special blessing upon this service now. Bless our hearts and our minds and our ears that we might receive the spoken word. Keep us in thy abiding love and be merciful to forgive us where we fail and come short of thy love and kindness. We also seek a blessing upon all the household of faith everywhere and rejoice in thee, we pray, thy kingdom come and thine will be done. And asking forgiveness where we fail and come short of thy loving kindness. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Okay, at this time we turn the podium over to our brother Steve. Steve?
Well, good morning again, and welcome to our convention. The Los Angeles class welcomes all of you to our 62nd annual convention. Now, maybe some of you are going to start figuring on your fingers because we've had a little variation here in the last couple of years. Our first convention on this site was in 1995. And that was the last full-scale convention we've had. And at that time at our convention Echoes, there was such an enthusiastic response from the brethren who attended, not only for the convention, but the convention site, that we thought, well, this is the place for next year. Then in 1996, they moved back the general convention by 1 week. That put it so close to our convention, plus the fact that it was an international convention year, that we decided to cancel our regular convention. That year, we on the year that we canceled the convention, on the Saturday that we normally would be here in convention, we had a a picnic at the Lamels, and then we had a baptismal discourse by Brother David Bruce, and two immersions, Brother Matt Carey and Brother Peter Mora. Then on Sunday we had a full-day convention. Well, then you all know that 1997, we were here, but it wasn't the 4th of July convention. That was the general convention. So here we are, again, at Claremont. You know, we were a little apprehensive that people would forget about the Los Angeles July 4th convention after having canceled the 2 years. But as you can see, the Lord didn't let you forget. And we are so thankful for that. So now, hopefully, we're back on track for a regular 4th of July convention each year. Now, I've heard many brethren say that one of the most important things that they get out of conventions is the fellowship with the brethren, especially those that they don't see very often. And fellowship is such a very important part of our spiritual lives as well as in convention. Paul alludes to this in Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So what an important part conventions play, big or small, in helping the brethren fulfill that scripture. The word fitly in fitly joined is Strong's 4885, to render close jointed together, to organize compactly. The whole body fitly joined together. The body referred to, of course, is the body of Christ. Christ the head, and the body is made up of many members. As we all know, the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:12-14, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. And when I was going over this, I was reminded of a toy that I used to play with when I was a child. And maybe some of you are in my age group. Maybe you played with them too. You know, it was a wooden paddle. And on top of it, it looked like a pile of wooden beads. But there's a hole in each one of those beads. And there was a string that went through, connecting all of them together. And then the string came down to the handle, and there was a ring on it. And if you pull that ring, it would put tension on the string, and all these little beads would come together and they'd form a figure. And you release it, comes down, pull it again, it comes up again. And I thought to myself, you know, that's like the body that is supposed to be compactly put together. But of course, what holds us together is not string. What holds us together is something more important. And that is mentioned in this scripture that I just read in Ephesians 4:16. It says, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Each member of the body must be joined together and compacted. The word compacted is Strong's 48:22. Thayer's definition is to cause to coalesce, to join together, to put together, to unite or knit together in affection, to put together in one's mind. The last few words of that phrase, which every joint supplieth, that is a very powerful statement. It puts a strong responsibility on each member. That means the responsibility rests on my shoulders and upon yours to supply to each other that the mortar that will fitly join us together. And of course, what is that mortar that will compactly join us together? Well, part of the answer is in the same scripture, Ephesians 4:16, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Love for one another binds us together. Just as families in the flesh have a strong bond of love that binds them together as a fortress against the outside world. We have probably all experienced the sight of a family where the lack of love on the part of one member can tear apart the fabric of the entire family. So important is love. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. The brethren we see every week in our own ecclesias, we know and we demonstrate our love regularly. And when we hear of those who are going through trials, we remember them in prayer. We send them greetings to encourage them. But many we only see at conventions. So conventions are our opportunity to increase that bond among ourselves with love. Now, many brethren are able to attend conventions all over the country, and they seem to know and fellowship with all the brethren. Well, I think that to some of us it seems that way. We know that isn't totally true. My experience has been, because Sister Betty and I have not until recently had the opportunity to go east of the Rockies to conventions, we really didn't know very many brethren from the east. You know, and when I'd go to a convention, at times I would kind of wander around and just gravitate to those that I knew to fellowship. But I decided that that wasn't doing the right thing. And I vowed that I would, as much as possible, introduce myself to brethren that I didn't know or that I knew very slightly. I would introduce myself and engage them in conversation. And, you know, when I did that, I found the value of conventions for me was greatly increased. So conventions are another opportunity for us to supply that which is needed to fitly and compactly join each joint together. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith... Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity, or love, of every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. The concept of the body of Christ being joined together in unity and using the word joined is found only in one other place in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And judgment here is Strong's 1106. It's cognition, the process of knowing or perceiving. So they must be joined together in their perception and understanding of the Word of God and the teaching of Jesus. So we see that there are two things that mix together, form this binding agent, love and unity of our minds. When we're just talking about love, that sounds easy. But when you throw in the mind, that can get a little tricky. Now, we all know that the brethren, no matter how closely joined together they may be, do not agree on every point. However, they are of one mind when it comes to the very basic fundamentals of the truth. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, we have the word perfectly joined together. And that word perfectly is Strong's 2675, Kedar did so, the Greek, to complete thoroughly, and here are the three words that are key here. Repair, mend, and restore. Now, combining the meanings of perfectly with the meaning of judgment or understanding, we would see that this is unity in doctrinal matters. To better understand Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 1:10, we would have to understand the conditions in Corinth at the time which prompted Paul to write to the Corinthians, so that we don't misinterpret what he's saying here. Now, because of their various religious backgrounds and their Greek philosophy, dissensions and schisms developed in the church at Corinth. This situation was primarily caused by false teachers who infiltrated the church and were teaching false doctrines. The primary reason that Paul wrote this epistle was his desire to purify the church of partyism and gross immorality. Thus, he used the Greek word katadizo perfectly to complete thoroughly, that is, repair, mend, and restore. Paul wanted to restore the church at Corinth to the spiritual condition in which he left it. The Jews had been following the law for so long, they could not accept the free gift offered by Christ. In Galatians 5:1, we read that Paul was having the same types of problems with the Galatians when he wrote, Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And of course, here he's speaking of the freedom from the law that Christ had given them. The Greeks could not accept Christ because he did not fit in with their wisdom and philosophy. Unlike the false teachers, Paul was only interested in preaching Christ and not include the philosophies of the Greek philosophers of the time. The false teachers were weaving in these incompatible philosophical beliefs with the teachings of Christ. Galatians 2:4, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Now, Paul refers to someone in 2 Timothy 2:17. His name is Philetus. He was a false teacher of the early church, along with Hymenaeus. Philetus was condemned by the Apostle Paul because he claimed the resurrection was already past. Undoubtedly, Philetus advocated a Gnostic teaching which held that the body is evil and only the spirit will be saved. Because it upset the faith of some, such teaching is dangerous, Paul declared. This reference to Philetus in 2 Timothy 2:17, "And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past, and overthrow the faith of some." One of the basic doctrines that was being undermined by these false apostles was the resurrection, not only of Jesus, but the resurrection of the dead to the kingdom. In so doing, they also rejected the ransom. So in analyzing 1 Corinthians 1:10, we see that when Paul says that there should be no divisions among you, he is not speaking of basic doctrines. Not that there can be no differences of thought regarding the scriptures. We all know that there are differences among the brethren, but of course most of these differences should not be used as a wedge to separate us. Basic doctrines mixed with love make up the ligaments that hold the body together. Every joint joined and compacted together. If we neglect to assemble ourselves with those who are the Lord's people and in whom we see the seal of this Spirit, we will fail to get the benefits and helps which every joint supplieth, that we receive from each other. Coming together in convention is one way that we bind each other and build each other up in faith. In the convention theme text from Hebrews 2:1, Paul emphasizes the importance of holding on to the truth and the consequences if we don't. That's Hebrews 2:1 from the New American Standard. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. It is to our benefit to continually meet with brethren in whatever form available, to study the Word, rightly divide the Word of truth, and be built up in our faith. That is our responsibility to ourselves, our brethren, and our vows. I'd like to quote something from Brother Russell, referring to Ephesians 4:15, and pertaining to the 16th verse. This is from reprints 5067. Proceeding, the apostle tells us that all who are recognized as members of the body of Christ must be properly joined to the head by a proper compact or covenant intelligently made and fully intended. This union must be compacted, and it requires the entire gospel age to effect this development and compacting as members, that the whole body of the anointed may be one, symmetrical, beautiful, cooperative, making increase in its members and edifying itself in love, growing in grace and in knowledge and in character likeness to the head. And so, we hope that in this convention, love will pour out from each and every one of us to each and every one of us, and that we will all receive the blessings, spiritual blessings from the discourses and blessings from the fellowship one with another. I'd like to close with this scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1:3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or love of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. And once again, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Steve. We want to be sure to be good hosts for all of our guests here, and so we want to encourage you that if you have any needs at all, don't hesitate to mention them to any of the members of the Los Angeles class. We'll all seek somehow to get those needs met. In particular, the chairman of the day on any of the days, the convention committee is myself, Brother Steve, and Brother Mark Davis in particular, and we'll be working with the management here at the college to make sure that we can get your needs met. We're going to adjourn now. We'll have a basically an intermission, if you will, before lunch, which is scheduled at 12 o'clock. I know it will take you, those that haven't been here, it may take a little bit of orientation to get used to the lay of the land, if you will. From this center here, if you go out this back door, and then you kind of work your way in the direction of my hand, sort of kitty corner. It doesn't exactly go that way because things are laid out on a grid more this way. So you kind of have to go this way and then jog a little bit to the south and back. But that's where the dining room facilities are, okay? Down by, right next door to the registration. And once you get used to that, by this afternoon, I'm sure you're going to be used to the directions around here and be able to find your way back and forth. Any other announcements we'll save for later in the day? We will be reconvening after lunch here at 2 o'clock and be hearing from our brother Sidney Jones from Winnipeg. And we're looking forward to that this afternoon. Let's close right now with the use of hymn number 165. We'll sing all of the verses. We'll stand on the last verse and then ask Brother Steve, if he would, to dismiss us with prayer.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we once again come to Thee with hearts full of love for Thee and thanksgiving for the many blessings we've received from Thy goodness. We're so thankful that Thou hast provided this opportunity for us to gather together to hear more of Thy precious plans and purposes for us and for the entire world of mankind. We pray that Thy Spirit will be with us through this convention, that we may certainly build each other up in love and in faith. Now we ask a blessing on the temporal food that we will be partaking, that we may use the strength derived from it to Thy honor and glory. We pray for all Thy people the world over, asking that Thou be with them, comfort them as Thou seest their needs. And now we ask your continued guidance and direction, forgiveness for the things we come short in serving thee. And we pray for that time when all shall know thee from the least unto the greatest. We ask these favors and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.